Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show on Wolf Spirit Radio. Simon actively encourages you to post your questions live to him in the chat room at wolfspiritradio.com/listen. When you ask a question in the chat room, please make sure that you've logged into the chat and go. That's the set name at the bottom. That you have a nickname, and that you ask one question in all caps. That makes it easier for us to collate. Thank you. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests, and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Hello, JP. Hello, everybody.
Good afternoon, Simon. How are you, mate?
Very well, thank you. You sound as if you've been very busy.
I have. Well, I'm always very busy, it seems. But this week has been quite... I've had a couple of health issues. I ate something the other day that really did me in.
Oh, dear.
These mini papadums. I thought, oh, they're going to be made with gram flour, but no, they were made with wheat flour, and I ended up with 2 days of headache. So that always takes, you know, it takes time out of my schedule, because I can't really do anything, just sit there and, like, wait for it to go. Anyhow, enough about my issues. Simon, how about you? How's your rest going? Are you able to take plenty of break time?
I've had some rest, but not really the rest that I decided I would take and never really occurred. I really think I need probably a fortnight just away from everything, away from the mobile phone, away from the computer. You know, it's a proper break I think I need. So I might have to see if that can be engineered. JP, I was just thinking, how long have we been doing this show now? Is it nearly a year? Is a celebration in order?
Let me have a look. I'm just going to have to... look back now. Where would be the best place? Oh, if I look on my YouTube, because that's where the first one was. But yeah, it was about 9-10 months ago. Let's playlists.
March.
Simon Parkes looks like.
Welcome to the Simon Parkes.
Stop. 2016 103. That's last night. 2015. 8-7. They're all over the place. I think it was July. I think there's 10 things in here, and they're probably about... I'll give you... I'll look it up later.
I was just curious.
Yeah, we're not quite there yet. We're not quite there at the year.
Well, I'm sure you'll let me know.
I will. We'll have a pop open a quick champers. Now, we've got a new method of asking questions, which is through the website... if you go to wolfspiritradio.com/listen, that's where the chat room is. You'll also find at the top there, it says ask a question or something. And these questions go into a special list, which all come out in a good order. I'll be moving through there. So don't put questions into the chat room now. If you put them into the special question box, which is on another page, and then come back to the chat room, that'll be great. That would be great. So, should we start?
Well, JP, before we start, how long before the show can they sort of access that thing? Can they put the questions in anytime they want?
Anytime they want. They just put subject Simon Parkes.
Brilliant.
So, hopefully, it'll make it a little less chaotic, because, you're aware, you're getting emails in every orifice that can be, people can stuff things in, and, I remember, I sent you a message through my thing. No, please send it through this, because I won't get it. Okay, so let's start off with a question from Sonia Medic. When does this come through? 7th of February. All right, that's earlier on today. So, it's a question, but could you please tell us more about Source? Who or what is Source, and what is its part in the end game, in this end game? So, Source, as in connecting to Source and all that stuff.
Right. I don't actually think there's an end game, in the sense that I think that we carry on, hopefully, forever. and our learning is forever. Although as we journey along, we gain more and more of our experiences and we gain more and more knowledge. Source, as I would refer to it, is the overall consciousness that creates. Now there are many creators, and we are, as a race, actually creators. But Source is the creator of life, all life, and whether that's life that we understand it in an organic sense, or whether that's life that's a little bit more perhaps complicated to us. But it is the one divine thinking process that creates opportunities for living creatures to experience and to develop. Now, I don't know if there's a right and a wrong in our way that we develop. I think it's wrong if we hurt others, and it's right if we help others. But within quite a wide framework, Source allows its creations to go where they want, and to learn and experience. So only on very rare occasions are certain things reined in or stopped. But generally speaking, the view, I think, from Source is I've created it. It has its own identity. It has its own independence, its own sovereignty. It will now do what it will do within the environment that Source has created for it. So when I talk about don't go to the light, go to Source or to your star family, if you are choosing to return to the point where you were created, this is really a sort of a rest and refit. It's a holiday. You're going back to Source to be reinvigorated and then to decide what you do next. If you're not at that position, you've still got some fight left in you, you choose to try to go to your star family, then you don't need that same sort of recuperation. You're going back to the star family to be with those family members who you haven't seen for perhaps thousands of years. So that's what I mean by Source, JP.
Okay, great. So, coming on to the next one is... right, interesting one. This is from Paul Brevetti. Sorry, I do that and then the... what's happened? I've lost that question now. Damn it, hang on. I think it refreshed itself and then I lost the...
Well, maybe it'll come back.
I'm just getting... Oh, here we go, here we go.
See, it's come back, hasn't it? I knew it would.
Right, now I've got to go to February. All right. Good question. Here's a good question. All right, I'll come back to Paul. This is from Julie78. Hello, Simon. If you have seen the film The Abyss, do beings like the one Ed Harris met under the water exist? When I saw this, I felt very sad, homesick, and emotional. And I don't know why. It was a beautiful scene. Thank you.
Right, I haven't seen the film, but I'm aware of the image through, I think, posters or through screenshots. Something similar to that. Not exactly the same. I mean, you know, I think many of us realise that Hollywood is used for both good and bad purposes to try to put messages out, whether they're for good or bad. And often directors or producers of these quite substantial films poke around for some ideas. And, you know, they can get those ideas from a whole range of places. Sometimes they create themselves from their own experiences, but other times they go to organisations like the CIA, who are more than willing to give them views and ideas, as long as they don't keep names or they change locations and times, and maybe also they can't create a creature that looks too accurate, because then a whole range of people might begin to say, hang on a minute, this means something to me. So, you know, they will alter or change. They'll keep the main shape or the main whatever the focal point of this entity is. They'll keep that, but they'll do subtle alterations and changes to it. So I would say yes. Talking about a creature that predominantly lives under the water, but not exclusively so. So, yeah, but I haven't seen that image for quite a while, but I think I'm familiar with the one that she's referring to.
Yeah, I remember. I watched that film with my girlfriend a few months ago. I hated it because of the drowning. So I had this bad experience of drowning in my body, so it wasn't very good. Okay, so this is from Tracker Films content. Soul swap. If a soul swap has been done without your conscious consent and you have no one to help you reverse this, how does one proceed? Isn't this against universal law and consequently must be reversed by the individual demand to return one's soul, DNA and memories to them? A very out of context question. Any idea?
Well, right, and I would need to understand what the questioner means by soul swap. I could misunderstand that. We often refer to someone who has a soul change as a walk-in, but I'm not sure if that's what the questioner is asking for. The questioner might be saying that they're aware of somebody who has been taken against their will and then had their soul removed from their body and a new soul placed in there. That's what it sounds like, as opposed to the general walk-in. To my knowledge, walk-ins are always with agreement. I've met quite a few walk-ins over the last few years, and in every case that I've come across, it was for a beneficial end. But so I'm not really clear. If you have a soul swap, many people are not aware that they've had a soul swap because the old soul has departed the body, the new soul has come in. And when I'm doing my work with clients, where that appears to be a possibility, I will ask them questions about when they were children, what toys they had, can they name their toys? Because what I'm trying to do is to see if they have a memory that goes right back, and try to understand. A walk-in is genuine; it does happen, as far as I'm concerned. And it's generally done to protect that individual. Let's give you an example. I'll make an example up because I don't want to obviously bring one that's client-based. Let's say a child is born generally in a hospital and it has a reptilian-type soul, but obviously the body is, human. And maybe when that child reaches the age of 20 or 30, it has a changeover. And a different soul, predominantly higher human, what I refer to as higher human, one of the higher dimensional human type souls, takes the body over. Now what is quite shocking for perhaps people who are unaware is that frequently psychic individuals scan all of the live births, certainly in the English speaking world. So there is a psychic scan done to detect who has manifested in these bodies, because the elite are worried about certain entities coming back, where they've had a history of, as they would look at it, difficulty with somebody. So if you were a Palladian and you'd given the nasty people a hard time, and then 50, 60 years later you appear to come back again into a newborn, so that means that soul in that body is vulnerable, because human bodies can't be protected very easily by themselves. They rely on their parents. So when a child grows up, that's when we see the soul swap coming in, the walk-in coming in, so that child is now old enough to have a better chance of protecting him or herself. But that's not always the case. Sometimes it happens when the child is 6 months old or a year old, but that would be because the parents are in a position, either financially or militarily or in terms of influence, able to protect the child. So that's the normal understanding of that. If there's anything outside of that, then generally that would not be with the person's agreement, and that's wrong. It shouldn't happen. And can you get it back? Well, you'd have to work out who took it from you in the first place. And you would have to understand why you wanted it back, why you're not accepting who you are now. So that's the sort of question I would work with somebody on, And, you know, that's a sort of a one-to-one work. But I think that was a good question to generally talk about. Thanks.
Yeah, good. And then an intense thing, isn't it? Yes. Like, whose soul is yours? Okay, so this is from Pseudo Cerberus. Dear Simon and JP, I hope you can shed light on this. My meditations have led me to believe a very long time ago, when life on Earth was primitive, I was cast down... Oh, hang on, I'm going to sneeze. Hey.
Bless you.
I was cast down or exiled from the advanced community. I was symbolically shown a fall into a volcano, where I became a great worm-like creature with a lion's head. I have always felt that I came from rock. The creature I was prior to this was big, bipedal, and black. I feel this was intended as punishment for a crime I had committed. Weaponizing life, heavy casualties, a great blow to some people, I can't be sure. The theme of this punishment seemed to be devolution, incorporated into the very framework of Earth, its rock and primitive life. Please, have you ever heard of such a thing? Thank you so much.
Yes. It's not as uncommon as you might think. Many people on the planet probably started their consciousness as grains of dust in the cosmos. If an individual transgresses to such a grave extent that it's seen that the only way would be to reduce that individual to the foundations of understanding and learning, so that they could basically reboot and relearn from the very beginning and build up. If you of a bad intent, and you're not taken right down to the ground floor, you from the 10th floor you're taken to the 5th floor, well, whatever you build on there isn't going to be very good if what you have so far is not following, you know, a positive line. So by returning to the earth in the truest sense of the word, you are gaining an understanding of what it is like to be part of a very big conscious mind, something that has been created. And so if you can work your way up, and now the individual there is obviously in human form, so you have obviously worked their way up from, you know, that bedrock through to the position they're in now. So you don't hark back to the punishment, forget it. Look at your advancement, look how you've travelled, look how you've developed. Because if you'd failed, you would still be, you know, back as a piece of rock, or you would never have made it to this level. You've made it to this level because you've learnt from your errors. And that's really important. That's the only thing worth holding on to here, that you have had a journey. We're all on a journey, but you've had a really unusual journey because you were, you may well even have volunteered to go back down. If a creature is faced with going back to relearn or being removed, then often you prefer to relearn it, because what is time? You know, what is time? Interesting question. Thank you.
Yeah, it's like going to college and then taking the year off and, you know, coming back. Okay, so here's a question from... Oh, this is very good, but this is from Shake Up. Dear Simon, a lot more children born now are being diagnosed with dyslexia, autism, ADHD, etc. Is this the result of environmental poisoning and radiation from vaccines, smart technology, yeah, that's more like it, EMF, etc.? Or are they a very special type of being coming from source to change how we educate, learn, and perceive our reality? What can a parent do to facilitate, guide, protect these children from these entities and agencies who intended to corrupt or destroy them in a society that's trying to fix them instead of nurture them?
Right. I presume that a parent is writing in, so therefore there's a very personal reason for that. So the first thing to say, for those who don't know it, is that I do have dyslexia, and that was diagnosed some 30 years ago.
Me too.
Right. And it's amazing how many people who are on a spiritual journey do have some form of learning disability. It doesn't mean you have to have a learning disability to be spiritual, but, you know, it's amazing how many are. And first of all, what I would say is, yes, a large number of people who have not just dyslexia, but issues around memory or the way that the brain is wired, may well have been affected by chemical outpourings of one sort or another over the last 30 years. I cannot believe that these things that have been placed into the earth, into the air and the water don't take their toll. It's really interesting, you know, you go to a major supermarket in Great Britain, and I don't know if it's the same in the States or the European supermarkets, but generally from time to time you see these big signs up saying, wash all your fruit, wash all your vegetables before you eat them. Now, if all these things are so damn okay for us, why do we need to wash them? We're washing them because they've probably got pesticides, they've probably got wax sprayed on them, and goodness knows what else. So one organization knows exactly how unhealthy these things are, but they feel they've absolved themselves by saying, don't forget to wash it. And if anything happens, they say, well, we did tell you to wash it. So that's the one thing. However, those people who have some form of learning disorder or disability often don't thrive in the academic world in the same way as somebody who doesn't exhibit the conditions. It doesn't mean that that individual is stupid, far from it. What it means is they're not able necessarily to learn in the structured way that the establishment through academia lay down as the way we do it on this planet. And it means that that gives that individual the chance to use an old phrase, think outside the box. Because if you have dyslexia, you have a different way of thinking. Some 20 years ago, an American construction company, design company, who were working with plans and drawings, schematic drawings, only recruited people with dyslexia. Because as the boss at the time said, if a dyslexic person looks at a drawing of a tower block or a block of flats and has to put the utilities in, he or she will see exactly where the pipes need to go to get them in, whereas a person without that doesn't seem to be able to do that. So it swings and roundabouts. The problem is that if you get labelled as somebody with a disability, you have to make sure that it's a label that you want and you can use to your advantage and to be proud of it, because it means you're different. What can you do? It's about the entities. If you have a disability and it is related to entities, as mine was, I had a what we call a shadow being that came to visit me maybe for, I don't know, 3 months, 6 months, when I was, I don't know, between 5 and 7. And my academic procedure went straight down the pan, so much so that my grandfather paid for a teacher to come to the house to teach me English on the Saturday, and another teacher to come to the house on the Sunday to teach me math. And Monday to Friday at school, I gave up half an hour of my lunch break to have a special teacher at school to teach me, because for some reason they couldn't understand it. My ability just completely fell off the edge of a cliff, and they were really concerned. When this energy being had finished its interaction with me, and I don't know if that's 3 months or 6 months, everything changed. And from a reading age of about 6 or 7, suddenly my reading age was that of 13 or 14. So my command of the English language hugely swung, and nobody could explain that. So don't look on these issues as negative. Look on them as it makes your child special. How can you challenge and support and lead that child to make him or her really thrive? Because the educational system is not designed for that. So what you need to do is to look what you can do at home to support that individual. And you know, I'm happy to, from a personal point of view, if the person wants to try and get in touch with me, to try and support them in any way I can.
Good. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, the dyslexia thing, because I never knew about it, but I've always had a tendency to be able to find misspelled words. It's the opposite way round. I have when my son was born, or as my son grew up, they discovered that he was, like, dyslexic. And my wife was saying, it kind of come from my side. So they said, oh, it must come from you. And I finally discovered that this crazy little facility that enables me to debug software very easily, because I can look at the printout and then find it on the page immediately. It just creates a little area of disturbance that draws my eye if any syntax is wrong. So I'm very good at proofreading, but it's a dyslexia thing. So now, one of the things that Nancy, our resident intelligence officer, says is that she thinks that dyslexia is a result of having two things going on in your mind, or multiple things going on in your mind at once. Which is an interesting way of looking at things.
Well, there's actually some truth in that. I mean, I don't want to go on with this question too much longer, but the entity that was training me, and that's the right word, was attempting to train me to be precognitive, to attempt to see into the future of time. Now that's a two-way split there, because there's a real time now in this linear 3D world and trying to predict the future. So when you are being moved from the normal understanding of a linear thought pattern, and you are trying to process two separate things at once, and males are particularly bad at that. So I think that makes a lot of sense. So I think so, yes.
Okay, so great, thank you. Now to Johannes Hausler. Dear Simon, thank you very much for doing your work. I have a question for 2016. What kind of energies can we expect? How can we use these energies, and what do you know about planet number 9 that showed up at the end of January? Is it really similar to Earth, and are there more planets in our solar system that are yet to come? Maybe 12. Again, thanks for taking the time and space to deal with these questions. All the best, Hannes.
Well, that's a nice question. There are two sorts of energy. There's the energy of good, and there's the energy of not so good. That's what Connecting Consciousness was about, and many other people have formed groups, and they're trying to project positive thoughts to try to counteract certain negative things that are occurring, and certainly at Connecting Consciousness, we've been doing quite a lot of that in the weeks ahead. I think the question really is, what is around the corner? Planet 9. And I said to somebody the other day, in Roman numerals, 9 is 1x, so I suppose it's got an x in it. With Planet X, it was predicted to be here. The question is whether it really is Planet X, or whether it is a psyops, a projection of something, which you can see. You can see this with a decent amateur telescope at certain times. I'm not saying there isn't something there, but the question at the moment is whether this is a projection or whether this really is Planet X. At some point it was where Pluto is. It's around about that point a couple of weeks back. It certainly is on an elliptical orbit in terms of its movement. It wasn't here all the time. It's just come into our visual. The Vatican spotted this last year through their Lucifer telescope, the infrared telescope, and then they spotted it through their optical telescope, which is sort of next door. And they were very concerned, because they thought that the shopkeepers, or the headmaster, the principal, was coming back to take charge of the shop or the school. In other words, if this is genuine, and there are living entities on board this, the closest it will be to Earth will be around about somewhere between the middle of March of this year and the middle of April. So if there is anything living on there by April, we will know about it. In other words, they will make the hop across. On the other hand, if it's still genuine, but there's nothing on there, it will just be an automated planetoid, something like that. If it's a psyops, and it's what we would call a planet generator, which is a device that gives you the impression that you're seeing a planet, both on a radar return and visually, then that could all be part of a false alien invasion. Now, we have to remember that not just me, but many others have been saying that 2016 and into 2017 were the critical period. And for the United States of America, which is where my focus is at the moment, they have three hotspots coming up. March to April, which is Planet 9, if this is genuine. June, July, which could be a bit of an economic crash, gentle landing with a reset, or failing that, something quite catastrophic economically, October, November. So there are three key points, and the question was about energy. So three key points where energies will come to a peak or a spike, where something could happen. America was supposed to take the hit last year. It didn't. China took it instead. So now it's sort of America's turn, if that's the right way to look at it. What can we do about it? Well, in truth, I think we have to go through some sort of shock, because I'm becoming increasingly convinced that the vast majority, 75%, that make up the Earth are these people who are seemingly unaware, are going to need some sort of shock to make them question who they are, or what they're doing, whether the government is doing the right thing for them, and how they live. So I think that we are destined to go through some sort of event of some sort, which will either mean that humanity breaks free or doesn't. So I think that really what we're doing is, we don't want to be fearful, we don't want to buy into anything that we are sold through the major news channels, and we just wish to believe in the good outcome for humanity and for ourselves. It's perfectly acceptable to want a good outcome for yourself and your family, but also to think about other people. So I've always said, look, you know, there are too many doom and gloom merchants. You put YouTube on, you know, we're going to be hit by Planet X and blown into 1,000 million pieces. The volcanoes are going to erupt. The oceans are going, we're all going to be doomed, basically. That isn't on the cards if humanity can evolve. So we all need to stay very strong, very truthful, and determined to make a good example of ourselves. I don't mean you're going to go around and do what I do, sort of, you know, go public, but you can be an ambassador in your own way. So you can act in a way that is an exemplary human. Now, it's really difficult. We, you know, I'm certainly not an exemplary human, but we can all make real efforts to put good energy out there. And, you know, we just have to wait and watch. And we'll have more information as the weeks come by, but at the moment, it's a pretty guarded secret. So it was a good question.
Excellent, excellent. So yeah, there's probably going to be a few questions about that. It was June that we started the thing, so we're only about halfway through. But I did a couple of... I interviewed you in March. So
That's probably what I'm thinking, yeah. Yes. That'll be it. Yeah.
Okay, so where are we? There. Now, I've kind of caught up with Paul Brevetti's question again, so because it disappeared when I first hit the button. Anyway, number one, he's got lots. Okay, number one, I have been hearing that new energy efficient CFL light bulbs, those are the little mercury ones, are giving off radiation. I've also heard it was false. What is the truth, and should we change our energy efficient light bulbs back to the incandescent ones?
Right.
I'll ask you the questions one by one, because I know you don't like the pile up.
Yeah. Due to dyslexia, I won't remember them anyway, JP. First question, then. You have a job going back to incandescent light bulbs, because they're doing their best to completely stop the production. But you can still obtain them in some shops. I remember David Icke filling a cupboard up with the old-fashioned light bulbs. The only bulbs at this stage to stay clear of are they are now old-fashioned. They're like little tube bulbs, but they're like Tesla coils. They are like spirals. My advice is, don't buy those. The latest LEDs, which are not the little glass lamps, but they are the little square yellow dots, through a very good friend of mine, I've been trialing one of those before they were on the market at all. I've had one for nearly 2 years now, and they're now generally available and very worthwhile getting. The issue is not those, and I know what the questioner is aiming for. The issue is somewhat greater than that. The issue is that it may be possible to place a chip, a microchip, into all of these lights, which would then conduct Wi-Fi. Now, the problem is that they could resonate at the same body frequency. I did a talk in England, in Newcastle, just before Christmas holidays, and I showed images of one of these light bulbs that had a loudspeaker in it. So you could sit in the comfort of your own room, take out your smartphone, and then play music through your light bulb. Now, I know that sounds absolutely crazy, and why on earth would you want to do that? But Nevertheless, you can do that. I think the object is to get these things into people's houses. It's a little bit like Windows 10, the operating system. I'm not advertising Microsoft, but Windows 10 is being given away free. Now, I remember when you had to pay over £100 for a Microsoft operating system, and I keep getting these pop-ups saying, over 100 million people have taken Windows 10, but you haven't. And I always want to write back, no, I haven't. And so I always think there's no such thing as a free lunch. Why would Windows 10 be given to everybody free? Now, they went through a phase where they were trying to give away lots of these light bulbs. The latest ones are incredibly expensive. At the moment, there's no issue, but within the next 2 to 3 years, unless human consciousness has evolved sufficiently, there will be an issue that they may be able to access everybody's living room, everybody's bedroom via their light bulb. That's a serious issue. Okay, thank you.
Right. Being 20... This is from Paul still.
Yep.
Being 25% reptilian energy, I was wondering, since it's as hard for us energies to meditate, what are effective ways for reptilian energy to meditate? Should... and then he's... should we try to doing something active to burn off energy and then meditate, or is physical activity enough?
No, that generally wouldn't help. The traditional form of meditation is what we should all be aiming for, but we can change it for ourselves. We can do what we need to do. We're all individual, but there are certain guidelines we should follow. For people who have elements of their soul which are part reptilian or indeed fully reptilian, it can be incredibly difficult for those people to concentrate. You always want to be up and moving around, or you get bored very easily. That's usually a sign, as far as I'm concerned, that that person has a sizable percentage of reptilian. No, the best thing to do is to find an interest, a hobby, that is connected to the earth, and then to study that. In other words, what I want you to do, if you know, I'm addressing myself to the individual here, is to become absorbed in a hobby, but it's not collecting coins or collecting stamps, because they're not connected to the earth. But let's say, for instance, you were going to study birds, or you were going to study insects or plants, or, as I do, you know, collect fossils. If you can do that, then you can clear your mind, and you can work with something like that and begin to understand what your connection is to the planet and the consciousness of the planet. Try to link yourself with that. The reason I'm saying that is because reptilians are not native, never mind this planet, they're not native to this solar system. So they don't have the resonation frequency in tune with the planet that a creature that was, you know, born here and grew up here and was made of the same material as the planet Earth. If you come from somewhere else, you are, you know, you're a visitor. But you are a visitor with rights. So I don't want people to think they're second-class citizens. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that it is harder. So if you can find something that connects you, you could go for a walk and look on a mountain or a sunset, or take digital pictures of beautiful sunsets or something like that. You're trying to do something, and then to use that to focus your mind and try to understand what the greater picture is, and then use that calmness that hopefully you've created, or that connection that you've created, to then move into the traditional form of meditation. So it's a very common problem, because there are plenty of people on planet Earth who have sizable percentages of reptilian, and many of them struggle to meditate. So that works. Give it a go. Don't just do it for a few days and think, oh, it's not working. You've really got to do it, and it's worth doing, because your physical body, your mental well-being, everything will develop. And hopefully the object here, one of the objects, is to bring down this DNA. Get your DNA into your body. You need every strand that you can get. Good question.
Need every strand. Okay, well, someone's been insisting. Let's take it. Do you want to take a caller, or do you want to?
Yes. No, I'll take a caller as long as it's a
genuine. I'll chuck them off their bed. Good afternoon, caller. You're live on the air with Simon Parks. We did ask not to have call-ins because it makes it too complicated, but would you like to briefly state your question and your name and your location? Thank you. Okay. Are you listening to this conversation?
I'm not getting the show.
You're on the show. Please turn off your radio or I'll disconnect. I'm going to have to disconnect you if you don't get the instructions. Right. Hello?
Okay.
What's your name? Where are you? And what's your question?
Kathy, New York. And my question is the planet Nibiru supposed to interfere with the magnetic resonances of the Earth as it comes near?
Okay, let's go with that. There will be no pole shift on this timeline. There have been timelines predicted where there could have been a pole shift, but in this instance, on the timeline we're in, Kathy, there will be no pole shift. The planet, if it's genuine, will not pass close enough to seriously affect, but if it's genuine, there will be some local disruptions, and the United States will experience some of those disruptions. But it's not the end of the world. Thanks, JP.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much, Kathy. Goodbye. So, back to the questions here. So, back to Paul Brevetti. I am too bored with my life. I feel my purpose is to meet an off-world entity, form a relationship, and do my part to help humanity. Would you ever be able to recommend an entity to pick up a person like an abduction, but with the purpose of exposing that individual to things that you may have been exposed to in a positive way? Or is that an impossible request?
I think it's not a serious question. Next question.
Okay. A galaxy far, far away. This is Philip Adcott. Because there's a subject line people can put in so that they get this. Dear JP and Simon, thank you both for your continued energy and dedicated to all things love and understanding. Simon, my question for today is two-part. What is your favourite Star Wars character and why? And secondly, the Pope is scheduled to meet with the head of the Russian Church about concerned leaders of the Catholic Church have over an end of the known world situation. Any clue as to what this is really about and how can we counter this with love? Thank you for your time and thoughts, Philip Hamilton on the period.
Right, that's a fair question. I don't mind questions like that, actually, because they interject some humour. People might be surprised to know that I wasn't a great Star Wars fan. And I didn't see the films until I was living in Hackney in East London in England, United Kingdom. And they were running what was then the three films back to back. And you started, I don't know, sort of 9 o'clock in the evening and it went through to 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, well, I'll just do it for the hell of it. And I don't have a favourite character, I'm afraid, because I didn't connect with it. Some of the characters were quite plausible, actually. But for me, it was too flippant. It wasn't serious enough. And when you really experienced some of the things that are portrayed there, it's not a joke. And I like fun and I like humour, but I like serious. If you look at the original Star Trek, which obviously was a product of its time with the Vietnam War being fought, but you look to that and then you look at something in the 70s like Blake 7, which is a British TV sci-fi show. There were moments of humour, but there was always a serious thread. Now with Star Wars, I thought the characters were more important than the story. So, you know, Princess Leia, Luke Skywalker became perhaps more important than the whole issue or the whole story. So I'm afraid I don't have one. What was there a second part to the question?
The second part was about this is between the Pope and the Russian Orthodox Church, which is a very, very fascinating question that my girlfriend and I have been talking about as well.
Right, this is actually to do with President Putin. It's got it's got something to do with the potential of a big change coming, and the Catholic Church via the Vatican surviving a change. And because there are no threads of communication between government, whether it be America, Italy, or Britain, and Russia, the only way they felt to open a means of dialogue was on the religious side. So in other words, the Vatican talking to the Orthodox Church. But this is purely and simply to try to negotiate a deal in relation to the forthcoming changes that could adversely affect the Vatican. So the Vatican is seeking information. It wants to know what President Putin knows. It wants to know what President Putin is prepared to do. And it wants to know what information President Putin has about the forthcoming change. And it is trying, the Vatican is trying to negotiate an exit strategy for itself and others. And that's what it's about.
So basically, Vatican as the rat's nest, and trying to figure, they're trying to get a softer deal out of this because they know the time is up. Is that right?
In a nutshell, yes.
In a nutshell. Good, good. Okay, thank you. This is an interesting one from Lauren. Question for Simon Parks: is it true that the Draconians use weaponized parasites in battle? And if so, are they biological or mechanical? Also, what would be the best way to protect yourself to neutralize them, or if they're infected? Yes. Yeah, so right. What's the best way to protect yourself from this?
Okay, we're not going to be attacked by parasites that the Draconis use. We are already, some of us, being attacked by parasites that are of an artificial intelligence nature, somewhere between living creature and not living. This is not coming from the Draconis. This is coming from what we would call the Archons or the artificial intelligence, and it's connected to fourth dimensional energy. How can we protect ourselves? This is about your physical body and your mental state of mind. So first of all, on the organic side, you really have got to look after yourself, your physical body, what you're eating, what you're drinking. You know, for goodness sake, please don't go jogging along the sidewalks. Don't go jogging along the edge of the road when the traffic's all pouring along. I can't believe when I see people doing that. If you're going to do it first thing in the morning or in the evening. Don't do it with all the motor cars backed up. You have to look after yourself, because if you are infected or attacked by these parasitic organisms, you have a much better chance of not letting them get a foothold if your mental state, your energetic state, and your physical state is much stronger. If you believe that you are being attacked by these things, then go and seek a psychic, a genuine psychic person who can use his or her energies to try and remove this entity while it's in the early stages. So to reiterate, it is not coming from the Draconis, it is coming from the artificial intelligence. This is humankind's biggest enemy on this planet. But good question.
Yes, very good question. And that's, there's a lot of controversy and yes and knowing about, you know, AI and the AI, who are the Archons and the AI and all of this stuff. But maybe we'll talk about that another, there'll be other questions about this, I'm sure. All right, so this next one, this is from Bud. Much love to you, inside. In Dolores Cannon's Protocols of Past Life Regression, the creator is called forward. Is this really the undying creator because the client's voice changes and speaks in the third person? Thanks. I'm not sure if that's... I don't like to talk about other people in my... when people ask me, and I don't think you are either, are you?
I haven't actually experienced that in sense of seeing it occur. All I know is that Dolores Cannon was a good person, and Dolores Cannon was one of the very few who would, you know, teach the Reiki and other energy healings, who was open to the fact that there were external living creatures. And so when something occurred her teachings were to embrace this and to try to understand it. But how that works with individuals, you know, you think about the church, they talk about people speaking in many tongues. It is impossible. If there's a real life case and someone has that, then they need to consult with me. But you're right, JP, I can't really go any further than that.
Right, and now... All right, so I just want to, like, in a general point, where are we? We've got the three quarters of the way in. Bookings and things for yourself. If people want to get hold of you, is there a new system? Do you have new contacts? Are you rebuilding a website? Do you need any help? Do you want to do some of that talk for the moment?
Okay, I'm still on my supposed holiday at the moment. That's why there's been no newsletters as such. And not taking any direct bookings at the moment. But what will happen is that the bookings will be reopened fairly soon, and normal service will be resumed. I'm trying to take this break because I am of the opinion that the next 10 months of this year and the next sort of 3, 4, 5, 6 months of the following year will probably be so full on that I won't get a moment's break. So I wanted, it's a bit like looking at a mountain or a big hill, and you've got to put your foot on the gas pedal and build up a bit of speed. What I'm trying to do is charge the battery so that when this really takes off, then I've got some energy to try and see it all the way through. So I will be doing that. There will be newsletters, will be looking at the website, and may actually move the control of it across to the States. You know, I've got a lot of options open to me, but yeah, I will be doing it, but at the moment I'm still on my holiday period.
Good. So when does the groundhog come out?
March.
Okay. So there's only a few weeks, a couple of weeks to go now, and you know, it's really creeping up, because my birthday's at the end of March, and it just seems to whack round, you know, January, February, bam, there we are, and I've got no money. Oh, well, there we go. Meanwhile, Lyra says, Nibiru, you have mentioned that there will not be a Nibiru event, but will there be any issues with space debris? My sacred feelings love to be on my lap when you're on Wall Spirit Radio.
right. There won't be an event in the sense that we're going to be wiped out. Let's get that clear. There might be an event that leads us to greater understanding. Debris, you know, the only way we're going to get debris is if something explodes. And to be truthful with you, this object is anything between 2 and 8 times the size of the Earth. That's if it's genuine. Now, if that was to explode fairly close to the Earth, we would be showered with so much big debris that probably I would just go and open my emergency food store and say I'm going to have a party, because we won't be here for very long. So I'm not expecting to be hit by a chunk of space rock. That's not, you know, that's what Hollywood does. It's one of their options, you know, the fear of being hit by an asteroid, and therefore we've got to have, you know, an emergency status on the Earth. No, but there may be a learning event coming from this, but I genuinely don't know yet. But it's a good question.
Okie doke. Yeah, some people are getting some reception issues. We've got a record number of listeners. That might be something. If you have any problems, go to the website, if you can get to the website, because some people are saying that that's also failed. I'll check in a second. Well, if you can hear this show and you're still listening, don't refresh it. You can go to Wolf Spirit Radio Chat at chatandgo.com. So Wolf Spirit Radio Chat .chatandgo, or chatango.com, and that's where the chat room lives. If you are having trouble listening, you can try tuning into Studio B. Hopefully that will also be relaying. Or you can try using the, rather than using the player, you've got little player buttons underneath the player. It says Studio A. You can also come in to everbeyondradio.com. That's also got a feed going on there. So, yes. Wow. Yeah, we have a record number of listeners, so that's great. So it's lovely to hear you all. People are calling in, I don't know. Well, let's take this one caller. Is this the same one? Hello, caller. Is this the same caller? Is this Kathy in New York?
Yes, it's the same caller. And I wanted to know, what can we expect when Nibiru comes, and when is Nibiru coming?
Right.
Alex Collier said that it is coming in March.
Uh-huh.
And things are going to happen.
Okay, Kathy, did you hear earlier, maybe you were one of the people that couldn't, get the whole show, but I did say between the middle of March and the middle of April, if there is an event of some sort, that's when it was going to occur. So I would agree with Alex entirely. Middle of March to middle of April, that's the date that I'm giving. Okay, JP?
Great, great. Thank
you very much. Should we buy food in advance?
Well, Alex Collier and myself both independently have been saying that for a number of years, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's always best to have some spare anyway. Thank you very much, Kathy. Goodbye.
Thanks.
So, Simon.
Hello.
Meanwhile, we're 5 minutes away from the top of the hour, but let's take another. All right, let's go for a question from here. All right, okay, so, people are piling these questions in. I'm going to try and filter them out, but this is the first question from Christian 92 Romania.
Okay.
Dear Simon, according to Alex Collier in his latest interviews, he states that the energetic grid that surrounds the Earth has been completely shut down by benevolent ETs. Is this true, or could he be talking about a different kind of grid? If this is true and the grid is down, does that mean when we die, the light will no longer show up? Are the light and the grid part of the same trap, or are they two different traps? Could it mean that we will no longer reincarnate unwillingly back into a human body?
Right.
Do you want me to rearrange some of those?
No. I've always agreed with about 99% of what Alex says, and I'm not actually going to say I'm disagreeing with him on this one, but I think we have different interpretations. My view is the grid is still there, but there are massive holes in it. I believe that the energy grid still exists, but there are great gaps, and it is possible for a strongly evolved soul to find a way through that gap. And that's the reason, after we did the CERN meditation, a number of my Connecting Consciousness groups emailed and said, look, could we do a group consciousness to try and take the grid down? And the reality was that the holes were already appearing, and I said, well, hang fire, because there are already holes appearing, and this is back at the back end of last year. And we may need to save our powder, as it were, for something a little bit bigger. So I don't believe the grid is down, but I do believe there are substantial holes, and you still have to be determined to get through it. It's not just a walk in the park. You still have to decide whether you want to go to Source or whether you want to go to your star family. You will still have a challenge. What some experiencers refer to as the freeze box, or the room, the box, the place where if you are captured by the light, the grid and the light, you are placed in this sort of isolation unit. That's still operating. However, it's not operating at full force, and there is a link between the holes in the grid and the reduction in chemtrailing. You know, many people were hallelujah back end of last year, saying that chemtrails had stopped, the end of chemtrails. And I said on radio and on presentations, that's not the case, but they've been greatly reduced. Now, in my own country, chemtrailing is massively reduced. Now, in America, in some states, it's increased, but in other states, it's completely dropped off. But this is because chemtrailing belongs to a black project. The money from that black project comes from multinational corporations who then fund it, but they have special heads of families who sign off on a regular basis where these monies can come from and what they're used for. And this particular head of the family is no longer on the planet. Now, they can't have an election until what tends to happen is that a Draconis reptilian twice a year or once a year attends some of these family meetings, and new heads of these families are elected. So in other words, there's no post holder to sign the piece of paper to allocate hidden black budgets. This is taxpayers' money that doesn't go through the lawmakers. It's just siphoned off completely. And that is why we have a huge reduction in many places, but not entirely in others, of that. And the only reason that occurred was there was a hole in the grid which allowed this prominent individual to leave. The reason the individual decided to leave the planet was because thought that his time was up, that the great reckoning was just around the corner, didn't want to be here when that reckoning occurred. It's the same reason, go back a couple of questions, why the Vatican is meeting with the Orthodox Church. Just a good question.
Excellent. We've got some good interesting topics here. Okay, this is from Cyril from France. Regarding different dimensions, I accept the idea that we can't, as third dimensional beings, even conceive what fourth, fifth or higher dimensions would be like. Yet, to try and understand, what are first and second dimensions like? Can we access them, and how would we? Thank you very much, and all the best, Cyril.
Right. This dimension, the third dimension, is the only dimension with conscious life in the way that we understand it. If you go down to a second dimension, you are reducing the maneuverability of functionality to such an extent that life doesn't exist as we understand it. Which is not the case if you're fourth dimensional and you're looking at the third dimension. They don't say, we can't understand the life on the third dimension. They do, because once you reach the third dimension, you then have enough building blocks to be able to communicate with higher dimensions. It's very impossible for something from the second dimension to communicate with the third dimension. In terms of the fourth dimension, it's about time and space. That is the real difference. The concept of time is totally against anything that we are officially told. And once humankind can understand how time and space operate, then a lot of the secrets, or a lot of the lack of understanding that people have, will come forward. So I don't think it pays any dividend to go looking into the second dimension. I think what pays dividend is to aim at the fifth dimension and to say that whilst we won't stop in the fourth dimension, we don't want to, thank you very much, but we'll pass through it. There's been a big debate for the last 5 or 6 years about this. My view is that we won't just miss out the fourth and evolve into the fifth. I think we will experience the fourth very quickly. And the reason we don't need to stay in the fourth is because of this reality. The third dimension was completely constructed from fourth dimensional values. So although we are in a third dimensional environment without the understanding of circular time and space, all of the control mechanisms that we have been forced to survive on here have been forced on us from fourth dimension. So why would we need to stay in the fourth? So we won't be staying in the fourth. We're going to go through the fourth into the fifth, and hopefully all of the nonsense that takes place on this planet will then, you know, fall away from us. So let's not focus on the lower dimensions. Let's focus on the fifth and higher. Thank you.
Okay. And are there, you know, how many, because, you know, people are going, oh, you know, I'm from the 23rd dimension and my 47th dimensional higher self, you know, and I'm just thinking they're talking BS. What's the deal? How many dimensions are there, and what are they dimensions from?
Yes. Right. Dimensions are 12, but I'm going to qualify that. We have 12 is a really important number on this planet. You know, we have a traditional analog clock face that runs from 1 to 12. January to December is 12. In Great Britain, We still use inches as well as centimeters, and the ruler runs from 1 to 12. The Americans also have the same, the imperial standard. 12 is very important. Each number represents a strand of DNA. But there are subdimensions. Now, this is the bit which I think some very genuine people say, you know, or the 15th dimension or whatever it might be. But there are, first of all, subdimensions. So within a dimension, there can be others. And a good example of that is what's happening as we speak in the fourth dimension, where almost a microcosm of another dimension is being formed because of the heaviness, I don't use the word negativity, but of the denseness of the energy is creating a polyp, a budding off within the fourth. So we could say that that's a sub-dimension within the fourth. Now, would we call that 4A or 4-1? I don't know. But if you look into realities, it's sometimes like a revolving door. So there is one major dimension, but within that there are revolving doors. So I think we've got to be very careful when someone professes to be from the 34th dimension. I would be very interested in hearing what they would have to say, but I don't think I would hang around too long.
Tongues firmly in cheek at that point, I would imagine, yes.
That's a good question.
So, yes, indeed. This is from Cafe Racer 88. Hello, Simon and JP. First of all, I want to show my gratitude and appreciation for all that you do for humanity and wish you both all the best for the future. Thank you. My question is as follows. I hear beeps in my ears occurring at random times, always in one ear, sometimes left, sometimes right. It's like a pretty high frequency or high tone, almost always the same tone, and they last for about 5 to 10 seconds and then fade away. Do you know what it is, or do you know if anyone else has the same thing? Well, I do. Thanks again for all you do. JP, I get I have whistling all in my head. Like, I got 5 or 6 tones, like, really, really high. That's, you know, really, really, really high. And they're there all the time. But sometimes I get what this guy gets, which is like, my one ear goes quiet, and then the other ear I hear, and then, yeah, it'll just fade out. What's the deal with that? Is it just kind of pressure in my head equalizing or anything like that?
Well, heaven forbid that you have pressure in your head, JP. Well,
I've got lots of pressure in my head, let me tell you, with those headphones on as well.
So, a medical doctor, of course, who hopes to retire and have an excellent pension at the end of his or her life, would call it tinnitus and say, oh, you have an issue with the inner ear, and if you go to hospital, we can probably do something for you. And perhaps in some cases, that's exactly right. There will be a medical condition. But let's not look at that, because my experience personally, and from speaking to probably upwards of 35 to 40 people who have very clearly have this, and have described it in exactly the same way as, you know, the listener has. There are a number of possibilities, and we'll try and wheel through them now. The first one is an implant in the ear, implanted by Earth government or elite Earth people. Another possibility is a energy weapon or a psychic outpouring being aimed at that individual. Another possibility is that it's a shadow being coming in from the fourth dimension. The best way to describe that would be you have a vacuum in one ear, so you don't hear anything from one ear, but in the other ear, it's a high-pitched sound, which some people said sounds like being underwater. And that is generally a entity arriving into your reality from the fourth dimension. But I wouldn't exclude implants or psychotronic attacks. What the listener hasn't furnished us with, and would be extremely helpful to decide which of those three it is that the 15 seconds prior to hearing that noise, what did they feel? And the 15 seconds after that noise, what did they feel? So they need to keep a diary, and they need to write in the diary what they immediately felt or sensed or thought before hearing the noise, and what they felt or saw or considered after the noise. And that would be good enough evidence for me to be able to tell them which of those options it was.
Well, that's a very interesting thing, because I actually get that thing that you say, you know, you get everything goes quiet in one ear, and then I hear a doo, and then, yeah, so I've never noticed the feeling. And
keep a diary.
I shall. And I'm pretty certain that I get entities here all the time. There's some sort of portal going on in my living room.
sure.
You know, it happens. Anyway, meanwhile, so, good question.
What, do you want to take a break?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yes. Oh, we're well past that, aren't we? Yeah. So let's put on a little tuny, and then we can get on. I'm going to have a nice cup of tea. And what have we got here? Maybe not. There we go. That's some John Lennon. Mind Games.
Excellent. The town hall.
Right. Okay. So we are now back at we're just discussing a little bit where I come from in London. Now I live in Scotland, which is right at the other end of the country, and Simon lives in Whitby, which is kind of halfway up the island. But we both have spent quite a deal of time. I grew up there in a place called Bethnal Green or Hackney, and Simon was its local council representative, and so that's a fascinating little thing. That must have been a real laugh. When were you the councillor in Hackney?
I don't think laugh is the right word.
Well, laugh is a
94 to 99.
All right. So that was just after I left London. Actually, I left London in 94. Somebody's got to be there. So here we are. Meanwhile, back at the question list. This is from Druid Star. Hi, Simon. Greetings from Ireland. Long-time listener. First-time question you. Myself and my partner would really love a soul reading from your good self, and we were wondering how we could go about to book one, please. Now, that's something everybody wants to know. Also, we talk about the grid being down. Could that be having a lot to do with all the people from the age of 50 upwards passing lately? You know, like David Bowie and all these people. And is it possible that since the grid is down, are the souls leaving to go home as soon as they can? Thank you for your answer, and many thanks and love for giving us your time and help in guiding humanity.
Well, it's a lovely question, and Ireland is a very beautiful, energetic place.
Absolutely.
It's a special place. I want to do the soul readings. I want to take the bookings, and I will be doing it soon, yes. And I'll make the announcement on your show, JP, when that time comes. You'll be the very first venue to carry that, and I will tell people how to go about and do it. So, yes, you'll hear it here first. We've already, I think, talked about the grid, and I hope that the previous answers I've given will cover that. Obviously, very, very, very sad, in a way, that David Bowie's physical body has passed on. It would have been nice, perhaps, if he'd stayed a bit longer to do some more work. There seems to be some debate about whether he really is dead or whether he's taken himself off somewhere. To my knowledge, he is dead, and I don't really think there's a lot of mileage in, you know, trying to debate whether he's, you know, pulled a fast one, etc., etc. I think that many people are leaving the planet at this time. I think that they were here to do a job, to impart energy, and David Bowie was not just a creationist in terms of what he did, but he challenged the accepted understanding, and he did it through pop. In other words, he connected with youth culture, and the establishment didn't like him, but what could they do because he was so successful? It's rather like when I was a politician, perhaps people didn't like me talking about 9/11 or anything like that, but if I had been elected with a large majority, what on earth could they do? So in the same way, if thousands of people were attending a Bowie concert, how could the establishment really turn against him? So people like David Bowie were on this planet to bring about change, but change in a subtle way, change in a different way. So it's a good question. So JP, when I'm ready to do the soul readings, I will announce it on your radio show.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Well, actually, this is your radio show, Simon. I know this is my station, but
it's your, I'm here as
being
your,
very different.
I look on it as you give me the opportunity to engage with some very special people, the listeners, and I'm always grateful to you because you have the technical knowledge. So yes, it's my show in the sense that I'm here, but it's our show, JP. It's you and me together. That's how I look at it.
Bless your heart. So, Sanata. Like Sanata Kumara. I work as a massage and energy therapist and also hold meditation classes. What is the best doorway into reconnection of the DNA strands and subsequently our wholeness through bodywork and the meditative process?
Right. Excellent question.
Right. Now, there's like, you know, that's the question. Let me just, there's a bit of background. I see a few different energy techniques that say they reconnect DNA, i.e. the reconnection by Eric Pearl and Mark Conks by Alison David Bird. I would love to know if you're any of aware of any specific energy techniques that are useful in reconnective process. Right now in my meditation, I'm using a type of soul retrieval technique, but I'm using it to connect and call back DNA strands. Gratitude and much appreciation for you, Simon, and your added presence and work in this world.
Well, that's a really nice thing. Thank you. I find that I would look on someone like that as a fellow practitioner. We are doing different things, but we have the same goal at the end, which is freeing the human race. Everyone is different, so it's actually not accurate to produce a document and say, this is the way you should connect your DNA. Anybody who is a practitioner knows that you can use certain threads of it, which will work for everybody, but only up to a certain level, because we're all different. What you need is to know the soul group of the individual you're working with. And we talked earlier about reptilian-souled people struggling to meditate and need assistance to do that. So, you know, the root way for that is different from, say, if I was working with a Lyran or a Palladian or someone from Sirius or Cyrus. Once you understand their soul makeup, then you can use whichever method that you have for energy DNA retrieval, which is appropriate for that individual's makeup. So really and truly, you need to know their soul grouping. Now, if you're talking about soul retrieval, you have to be very, very careful here. Soul retrieval is not really, I know the listener said that she used a type of soul retrieval, but soul retrieval is where a fragment of that person's personality has been trapped or stuck in a phase of time. Now, soul retrieval can be very useful for poltergeists, for regaining the poltergeist, and you know, maybe we can have, talk about that. We won't have time now. But if you are attempting to retrieve DNA, the best way to do it is to go into a true meditative state and to visualize a white twisting strand of energy, and you have to say that it's time to come home, it's time to rejoin, it's time to be whole, this is the moment, and you need to welcome back what was stolen from us stolen from us 220,000 years ago. So you visualize this strand of DNA, and it doesn't matter which one it is. Don't go saying, oh, well, I don't want the reptilian one. I want this one. It will be what it will be. And you have to accept that and love it and go with it. Now, the last strand of DNA that you connect into your body will be the most challenging for you. And it may not be a reptilian one. It may be a Lyran, or it may be something else. So soul retrieval isn't really designed to connect with your strands. That's not what it's about. And you need to actually be very upfront and be very determined, very clear and focused. This is what I visualize. This is what I want back, because I need this. I will work free of charge with any healer who just needs a little bit of guidance from me, because there will be a time when I will come to that healer and I will say, you know what, I could do with a little bit of help here. And that's what good people do. They work with each other and they support each other. So it's a really good question. Thank you.
That's the thing that I was kind of going to come to you with, Simon, is you seem to be very overworked. It would be good if there was a school or at least a small group of people, of healers, that could kind of lighten your load a bit. Is that part of your plan?
Yes, good. Absolutely good. Part of the plan. Part of the plan, unfortunately, we are on a 3D world. You can't do anything without money. That's deliberate. It's the control system, because if you earn money, you must be doing what the establishment want, by and large. That's their thinking anyway. And therefore, they can control, you know, you through your ability to make money. What I'd love to do is to have the money to build a, and it has to be a physical building, a healing center, where there would be a range of practitioners offering a range of services to clients, and a client would be able to access from a menu that was appropriate to him or her. There are certain things that I can't do, and there are certain things that other people can't do. So if we work together, then we can obviously offer a package. For instance, somebody who comes to me and has serious mind control issues would benefit from another practitioner who could help them with a sleep pattern. Because many people who have mind control issues don't have regular sleep patterns. So yes, I am overworked. I don't believe that I am the only person on this planet who can do this. But I do believe that I'm probably about the only person who is prepared to come up front in such a way and to do this. And I don't blame anyone else, because they're frightened for their lives. Whether it's ridicule, whether it's just personal attack or rudeness, or whether it genuinely is threats of violence. And we have all seen key players go through periods where they felt their life was threatened. So I don't give a damn. I will carry on doing this, and either this physical body will carry on and I'll carry on doing what I'm doing and the human race will be free, or it won't. In which case I will have failed, and everyone else who is on here will have failed, or something will happen and my physical body won't be here any longer. But that, I don't care about that. I just don't think about it. What I think about is the injustice on this planet now. And I want to do, like so many other good people, will want to do something positive, want to help. And when I talk to people, I'm so heartened, because so many people want to do something useful. They see what's happening around them, but they're not prepared to do what I or others do, but they want to help in their own way. So yes, you know, I am overworked, but I can't step back from that. I've tried to take this break, but you know, when the work is out there, it needs to be done. So yeah, it's a bit of a challenge for me really, JP, but it's a good question.
So thank you very much for that, and it's like I'm saying, it's a very important thing that is being done. And so we do need to, like, have networks of, you know, this person in your in this area and that person in that area. And, you know, I can see that that's happening, even in Britain, which is great. Okay, a question from Sue. Hello, Sue. Simon, dear Simon, thank you for being here for all of us for this planet. Why are so many souls incarnating into the bodies of animals trapped in industrial farming, battery cages, gestation crates, etc.? Are they being trafficked and tracked in a repeating cycle? Is this industry designed to increase their suffering to generate louche for harvest? Is anyone off planet trying to help these tortured animal souls? And what can we do? Blessings, Sue.
That's probably one of the deeper questions that we've ever faced. I don't profess to have the full answer, but what I do know is that we are trapped in many ways, and the human race is trapped into believing that it is okay to eat meat. Now, we all have a choice, and you know, that's the choice we make, either to eat it or not. But let us just assume that there really are reptilians. Let's just assume that there really are reptilians and they really do eat children and people. So, for many people, that's a comment too far. But for those who have really done the research, or those that have had personal experience, or know people that have had personal experience, they will know that that statement is actually accurate. The elite know it's accurate. Goodness me, do they know it's accurate. So, on this planet, there are rules. And the rule is that if you eat something that was living, why shouldn't something eat you? So a reptilian could say, well, I'm eating you. Aren't you eating other life on the planet? If all the human race on Monday stopped eating meat, the reptilians would be put in such an energetical vice, they would have to stop eating humans immediately. So the reason, one of the reasons for slaughter of animals and the eating of the meat is to make it a trickery on the human race, so that they buy into this energy cycle, which allows the reptilians to maintain their dominance in terms of that. The question was more deeper than that. It's my own opinion. My own opinion is that these entities, I beg your pardon, these souls incarnate into animals in the hope that the pain and suffering that they go through to be murdered so that people can eat meat will be that extra grain of rice which tips the balance, which allows humanity to start to back off from doing that. So it's a choice, and it's a very, very difficult choice. Perhaps some of them don't have a choice, perhaps some of them are forced into it, but the reality is that at some point it's going to have to stop. But there's such a huge corporation behind this. I mean, there's multi-millions made from animals. And I live in an area where vegetarianism is seen as, you know, being mentally ill.
That's right.
No, it is. It's yeah. North Yorkshire is a bit like a place that I know quite well called Hull, which is all about pies. Meat pies, more meat pies. It's very meat dominated here. And there are huge farms, huge amounts of money made on this. And of course, those people have a very good living, generally speaking, and they're not going to give that up. So this is what I meant earlier about human consciousness changing. If everybody stopped on Monday going into their local supermarket and buying something, well, you know, the farmer would have to grow something else, like wheat or barley or something like that. It's a personal choice, and I'm not attacking any individual. I'm not on a quest. Perhaps I should be, but I'm not on a quest to stop people eating meat. But I personally think that it's wrong. I don't understand. I have cats here, JP.
Mm-hmm.
People know the cats. So why don't I eat my cats? Why are my cats okay, but the animals that you could eat, why are they not okay? And the point is that these are pets, or we don't eat pets. So why are people's pets more important than the animal out in the farm? Because in the ordinary person's mind, they've been tricked into believing that one form of life is better than another form of life. So your dog and your cat you take into your home, and that becomes a member of your family. So we see them differently from a sheep or a lamb or a fox or anything like that out in the wild. That's not in the house, that's in the wild. So from a very primitive standpoint, people are saying, well, that's all right, because these are mine and those aren't. And, you know, this is what we need. We need human consciousness to evolve beyond all this nonsense. It's just trickery and just nonsense. And once human consciousness can develop to that point, then we will get some really beneficial changes. So it's a really good question. Thank you.
Excellent. And also that little thing that you said earlier, I want to bring that back in, you know, just to reiterate it, because the thing about what you say, the reptilians are carnivores. And here's the other, there's two little points I have, is that we have pets. Our pets are usually carnivorous. Mm. And that we generally eat herbivores. Mm. In terms of the food, you know, pigs. Mm, and that's why there's a bit of a question mark about pigs, because yes, they eat anything. But generally, you know, most animals that we eat, sheep and cows and everything, they eat grass and they don't eat other people. So there's a different food chain. But the idea of, like, if you're on the food chain, you're on the food chain. You know, if you choose to eat, that puts you in danger. And that's a very, very subtle and important and very galactic consciousness point. Thank you, Simon.
Quickly before we go on, if you look at the teeth of a human, we have two obvious meat-eating teeth, but the vast majority of our teeth are for grinding and crushing. And so the answer to the diet is found in the teeth. If we were designed to eat meat or eat a lot of meat, we would have far more teeth like a crocodile, or like a reptilian for that matter. But we don't. We have a whole battery of grinding and crushing teeth at the front. And at the back, and the teeth at the front are pathetic. You know, in terms of eating meat, they're really not very practical. So humans, in my opinion, have been tricked into believing that they need to eat vast quantities of meat, and that's not the case. The dentation of the teeth show that we can survive quite happily on other things.
And soup. My teeth are adapted to eating soup. Anyway, from good old Spirit Bunny, I love that name, Spirit Bunny. Hello, Simon. Many times now, I've heard you say how the Draco are skilled with genetics. The genetics is the thing they are best at. They have also been hanging around Earth for a long time. What I would like to know is how they have contributed to life on this planet. Oh, what have the reptilians ever done for us? Sorry. Maybe you could list five diverse examples of familiar life forms they would be proud of their work with, besides themselves, and explain what type of work they did with one or two of your examples, like alteration, splicing, adding ability, removing abilities, etc. Also, if our current race is one of the life forms they worked with, please include us in the list. Well,
right.
Well, what have the reptilians ever done for us, Simon?
That's Michael Sharman, wasn't it, who wrote the history? What was it? What have the Romans ever done for us?
Yeah. And then
I've probably got a kickback from that now, haven't I? Probably about half a quid. Well, I'm not going to sell or try to push the reptilians. I've stated quite accurately that they are absolutely brilliant geneticists. But you can use your genetics for either good or ill. It's a bit like magic, really. There's no harm in black magic. It's the person who conjures. If the person that conjures the magic is of good intent and uses the magic for good purposes, that's good magic. If he or she uses it for bad purposes, that's bad magic. So it's not the genetics that are at fault. It's what the intent is with it. So if the intent is to create new life forms, then that's good. Providing, of course, that life form is not going to try and destroy every other life form on the planet. If that life form or alteration to life form is purely and simply because the creator of that technology decided that they wanted to have influence over that planet and to change the energy structure of that planet, then that's not good. So I've talked about the domestic cat. You know, why does the cat have an eye like a snake? And, you know, I once was in a room where a very dear friend of mine, a veterinary surgeon, spent 15 minutes trying to explain to me why a cat had an eye like a snake, and at the end of it I still didn't understand what he was talking about. That is, as far as I'm concerned, through genetic alteration. Humans were genetically altered right from probably starting about 5.5, 6 million years ago, which sounds a long time to us, but isn't very long to somebody who is an interdimensional entity. And I've talked about how the Stone Age tools suddenly changed in the strata of the Earth. You can suddenly find these rocks, you can suddenly find these Stone Age tools changing within 100,000 years, as far as the record is concerned, which may just be 10,000 years, which is just unheard of. And I believe this is alteration of the mind. You know, scientists have poured glass beads into moulds of fossilized brain cases of human creatures, and they've measured the brain capacity over 2-3 million years, and it's Charles Darwin can't get away with it any longer. There's no way that these brains could suddenly increase these sizes in such a short period of time. It just doesn't happen unless there is some big technology coming in. So I'm not going to apologize for the reptilians. I'm not going to try to sell their case. I will say that they are brilliant geneticists, but they've used their genetics for predominantly negative reasons. These are about ego, building their own ego. They want to put their mark or their stamp on a planet. That's what they do. They go from star system to star system, planet to planet, and they look at it and they say, how can we reptilianize this planet? How can we adapt these creatures? Because they believe they are the ultimate life form. Reptilians generally, not exclusively, reptilians generally believe that they are superior to mammals. Some people can actually smell a reptilian, but reptilians do not have glands to exude sweat. And reptilians absolutely think mammals, humans, are disgusting because most humans sweat. And reptilians hate that. In fact, they will say to a person, step back from me because I don't like your smell. The alteration to people and to life forms on this planet is purely and simply because the reptilian wishes to replicate itself, because it says we have reached the pinnacle of our evolution. If you look at the dinosaurs on our planet, they reached a point they couldn't really evolve beyond that. Mammals are continually evolving. Now, I see that as a strength. I think that a mammal can evolve very rapidly, and that's what saves it. When there's a disaster or a cataclysm, the human creature can evolve so quickly, it can usually cope with the changes that are happening. A reptile can't change very quickly, so it is susceptible to being wiped out. So they see it as a strength, I see it as a weakness. So I hope that's a good answer.
Awesome. The other part of the reptilian thing is that they're incredibly proud of them. This proud of themselves and, you know, superior smirkiness is the annoying thing. Anyway, meanwhile, from Victor Alvarez. Dear Simon, thank you for your dedication to humanity. Do you still foresee a false flag happening in the States before the end of March? Also, what damages do you see happening to the Earth due to the passing of Planet X? Thank you in advance. So, see previous question for the second part, but false flag happening in the States before end of March.
I wonder if our listener is any relative to Walter Alvarez. Walter Alvarez was, of course, a guy who was pivotal in bringing to the attention of the world that a large meteorite asteroid struck the Earth and wiped out the dinosaurs. That was, I think, in 1979, 1980, when that became public. And also interesting that Walter Alvarez had had some very interesting positions with elite governments, but may not be, just may be the same name, may not be related. False flag, yes. It's still on the cards. And if we've got a situation with this planet number 9 that is not a real planet, if it is an artificial created, what's called this, this planet device, then we will have a situation in very end of March, sometime in April, April being the key point. And it was interesting that one of the caller, our caller said, Alex Collier was also talking about the April period, and I'm saying March to April, but that could be a false flag. If this is not really a planet, it's a planet generator, it's appearing to be a planet, it could be all part of a false flag. April, I've got some money on it that something will occur. But let's just see what amateur astronomers are saying, because I don't believe anything that comes out of these elite organizations, but ordinary men and women over the globe with half decent amateur telescopes are seeing something. So these people get on the internet and post what you're seeing. Therefore, we're going to get the truth. I don't want to listen to any of these people who come and talk about stars and have their, you know, weekly radio television shows, and I won't mention any names. But I hope amateur astronomers can actually start posting and maybe put some of the pictures they're getting from their telescopes, because we will really see what's going on.
Yeah, you'd really think that Brian May would get it, wouldn't you? Anyway, these questions are just absolutely pouring in, and so as I go from one page of these things back to the same page, page two is now like page six, and so I'm just going to dive in, because we'll never catch them all. So
why don't we one day do an all-nighter?
Yeah, we could
start and just go right through the night into the early hours.
Oh God, you're asking for it. Okay, we could do that. We could do that. You know, we could even do it on YouTube. You know,
The reason I'm saying that is because these people, are making the effort. They want their questions answered, and I feel so bad that we can't. Anyway, it's just a thought.
It's all part of what I was trying to get for you, or to get your group to do, and I'll still encourage them to do it, is to create an FAQ, frequently asked questions. You know, rather than you being having to answer the questions over and over again. There's a
JP.
A slide for it.
You know what the problem is? Is that I've tried that and it doesn't work, because people want to have ownership of the question.
Mm.
They want to be able to have that opportunity to put the question.
Yeah.
And it's a personal connection between them, your radio show, you and me. And that's what makes this show so successful with everything you do, not just me, but all the others, because it allows an individual, whatever part of the world they're in live, real time, to connect and have their question answered, and not just number 127 on a printed page. Mm. And that's what makes this show spectacular.
That is true. It's the morphic resonance.
I want to keep that, because that allows me to connect with decent, good people.
And the morphic resonance of this thing, we have, with just a handful of listeners, done some spectacular healings using the morphic resonance of the radio listeners.
Yes.
And so today we have a record number, so welcome everybody. I'm glad our server is able to hold it all up. the chat room did fall over, but it's managed to get back on its feet again. Now the next question, this is a very interesting question. Simon mentioned previously that green eyes represent lineage. I request that he offer more background to that statement. Yeah, because I've got an unusual colour eye. I've got a dark blue eye. So,
what's the other eye?
Both of them are dark. They're a kind of ocean blue, rather than a kind of a sky blue, or like most people. Yeah. So, what's the thing about eye colour? And it's a long story. I know, and it goes back through history, so maybe you can add some of that as well.
Before we do that, I've had a number of people actually who've been sending me messages saying that what's interesting is that your show cut out when we were talking about the Vatican. So when
did
we were
really?
Talking the question about the Vatican meeting Orthodox Church, and my answer to that apparently I've had three separate people now, one person on Skype and two people on text, independently have told me that that's when the show cut out for them. So that might be worth just...
All right, don't mention the Pope. I think I got away with it.
No, but seriously, that's very interesting. Yeah.
Do you want to just repeat
no,
the answer?
We'll get calf again.
I know, I always like to buck their...
We'll do it just at the end. How about
that?
That's
a good point.
We'll do it just at the end. I'll repeat it just at the end. Just remind me, JP.
Yeah, so eyes,
green eyes,
and the colour of eyes, and green eyes in specific.
Okay. I don't have a really positive view of religion, but I know that Adam and Eve existed, and Eve had green eyes and red hair. And if we accept that 220,000 years ago, the human form that we have today was created finally into this particular model. Let me reiterate again, that humans were not created by any alien species. We were already here, already alive, and quite doing happily, thank you, but we were altered. And 220,000 years ago, or thereabout, that was the final alteration at this phase. The alteration is still taking place. There are still alterations being made, but the model that we have now stems from that. And this was largely at the behest of a reptilian grouping, who wanted to identify any creature that they had created so that it could be traced back. Green eyes is one of them. So you will find that if you take an elite organization, I'm not even going to mention a name, but let's just think of a very wealthy family on the planet. And I sometimes say this to my clients when I Skype with them who have green eyes. We'll imagine a very, very wealthy family, billionaires. And like most billionaires, they want maids to clean their many houses. They wouldn't employ a woman with green eyes to clean up. They would employ somebody with brown eyes or possibly blue eyes. But if they want someone to answer the telephone or have a more of an administrative role, they would employ somebody with green eyes. So the elite already have this pattern in their head. Excuse me, this pattern in their head about the green eyes. And as far as I'm concerned, a person with green eyes is no better or worse than a person with brown eyes or blue eyes. But, you know, when you're spiritual, you know, you hope that you're not being divisive. But if you are into the power game, then you create hierarchy. You create division. And so the color of the eyes is used by the elite to put you into a box, to actually say, well, you'll do this or you'll do that. So green is the color of bloodline. And, you know, there's so many people writing on the internet who haven't a clue what they're writing about, and they spout this great big word bloodline, and then they run out of steam because they actually don't know what bloodline means. They just have these keywords and they highlight them and they have no concept. Bloodline means many things, and bloodline can mean the green eyes. So a female with green eyes and red hair, a male with green eyes, means that that line can be traced back, and they are more likely to have alien connection from the fourth dimension than any other colour-eyed person. So if you have a green eyes, you will most likely have connection with the fourth dimension. If you have blue eyes, as you do, JP, then you will have two sorts of interaction, one with your own family, and you, JP, are fifth dimensional, so you would have family from the fifth dimension visiting you to support you and to try and chivvy you along, and you will have some bad guys coming from the fourth dimension to try to hold you back. So you would get interaction from the fourth dimension simply because they were fearful of what you were capable of doing. And the green eyes, the visiting there is because, well, you know, you were created by us. This is their view. You were created by us, so we have every right to visit you. So that is a aspect of hierarchy. And as I said, it's not something I follow, because as far as I'm concerned, you know, if you've got brown eyes, you're as equal as any other coloured eye person. So I hope that's a good answer.
Well, that's a very, very fascinating question. A fascinating answer, in fact. And I certainly learned something. All right, here we go. Meanwhile, back in weird space and time questions, Raul Chico has. First of all, thank you very much for your dedication. My questions. What is the truth behind the number 1111 and the deja vu phenomenon? And hasn't it just increased? And synchronicities? Do you want to speak on that?
Right. It is a good question. My answer perhaps isn't quite what you're expecting. I don't get hung up on numbers, simply because numbers can be used to trigger or program people. And we all have a lucky number. Well, no, we don't. Most have lucky numbers. But we have numbers or events which seem to reoccur. People will, you know, perhaps be, I don't know, sending me a message, and I'll say, oh, I've just looked at the clock and it's 06 six something or other or what have you. And you know, I went through a phase for 3 days in a row where the postman rang the bell exactly at 3 minutes past 3 in the afternoon. You know, so what we can say is there's obviously a message there, but let's not get totally hung up on it because it's just one aspect of the multi-dimensional life that we have, and we don't really know who is giving us that experience with those numbers. So I'm very cautious about letters or numbers or colours because intentionally or unintentionally they can be used to attempt to take us over. I mean, a number of times when people have approached me on the internet and it becomes clear that they are agents for some elite group, and they will then slip a phrase either spoken on Skype or typed which is totally out of context with the rest of the sentence, designed to try to take me over or try to trigger me, and it may contain a number or a signal, you know, and I laugh at it, and then the confusion in their mind, poor things, and then they repeat it again because they don't understand it and why it hasn't worked. And my own view is that we have all choices. We go through our life, we live for the present and hopefully for the future, and when certain things happen, yes, there may be a message there, so have a look at it and take the message, but don't get hung up on it. So that's my answer.
Great question. Okay, now, and again, this is, when I do ray readings on the radio, one of the things that I wanted to do was to kind of see the distribution of the different ray groups, the different soul groups. And so this question here is from Sarah. Hi, Simon. Based on your readings and consultations, etc., what do you estimate is the percentage breakdown of starseed souls you are seeing, that's hard to say, starseed souls you are seeing in the human population right now? E.g., how many reptilians, how many Pleiadians, how many Lyrans, how many, and are there any, you know, what about Ursa Major? How come nobody has ever from Ursa Major? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's probably the Ibiza of the galaxy.
Yeah, everybody's got everywhere's got one, eh? Anyway, so yeah, so what's in your experience, or is there other intel that you have about the sort of percentage breakdown?
Okay, my take on the word starseed is different from the way it's being used here. I think the questioner is asking for non-Earth human souls. I think that's what they're asking. For me, starseed is a non-Earth human who has incarnated on the planet with a specific job to do, and has many gifts and is clearly different. That's my concept of a starseed. But there are 25, in my view, 25% of the Earth's population are non-Earth human and contain elements of souls that are not of this planet. So 75% of the population are Earth human, and it's their planet. Now, I know people are going to say, hang on, this is my planet as well, you know, and I'm not going to get into an argument. But those people are the ones who need all the hard work doing, because they're the Earth humans. They're the ones who are terribly naive and have been tricked and trapped. So if you have a non-Earth human soul, then you are made up of either alien or human, but not Earth human. And I have the term, which I use in my clients, if that's appropriate for them, higher human, meaning they are human from a higher dimension than this reality, which is the third dimension. Now, if you are reptilian, you could still actually be a starseed. So we must try to understand, because it's about choice. You could have 100% reptilian soul, but you could have made a choice for good. You could have made a choice to actually do something positive on your time on this planet. So it doesn't matter that you've got 100% reptilian soul, you're going to be a good person. You could have a beautiful, beautiful Lyran soul, higher human, but you could have made a choice to be a horrible, nasty person. So this is where the free will comes in. So we've got a whole range within this 25%, which I estimate, of people on the planet who have a, from, you know, 1% non Earth human swinging right across to 100% non-Earth human. And so these people all have different attributes, different ways, different values, but the question is whether they are aiming at the same goal, which is freedom for themselves and freedom for the people around them. So it's a really big question, and at 5 minutes or 4 minutes to the hour, I don't suppose I can go on much longer. Thank you.
Great, thanks. Okay, so this is Pavel Laskowski. It's probably the last question. In my recent soul reading with you, you told me that I was a Pleiadian soul but left because they were too rigid and I was too much of a free thinker, so I went and reincarnated as an Andromedan. What sort of meditation techniques would you recommend for me?
Well, I never discuss generally name people's names, and I don't, because it's private, but if the individual is prepared to discuss it, then I suppose it's fair game, isn't it? It's open. The Palladian group is quite a tough environment to grow up in, and many higher humans will incarnate there just to understand how the Palladian group has survived. To my knowledge, it's the only higher human group that has maintained its physical integrity in terms of reptilian attack, and it's not for everybody. And so the next one down in the fifth dimension is Andromeda, and which is where Alex Collier has a lot of connections with. So if we were to start off in the Palladian group and drop down to Andromeda, the question would be, why would you want to connect with Palladian group? Because you have already made a choice to move to the Andromedan group. If you are now a bit like saying, as a child who doesn't know who his mother or father is, and then says 25 years later, I wish to know who my parent was, then that's quite an interesting concept. What you'd have to do, and I think that it's quite right thing to do, is to use some meditation music with dolphins, with the ocean, because this is absolutely supremely connected to Palladian culture, and using that as a backdrop, then try to connect to that star family. And that is the way to do it, through meditation music with a dolphin or an ocean sound. Very quickly then, because we've got 2 minutes left, the Vatican point, because we got cut off, I think, last time. The Vatican is meeting with the Orthodox Russian Church, because they are seeking a way out of a very difficult situation. They are not able to talk to President Putin directly, because, you know, they're just not allowed to do that publicly. But it's been authorized that they can try and open a channel of communication through to the Russian president via the church. In other words, it's seen as perfectly acceptable because it's coming through the religious side. They're trying to do a deal. They're trying to save their necks. They want to understand what President Putin knows, how much support he's getting from off-planet, and if some deal can be made. So that's what that's all about. Listen, JP, we talked a little bit about Andromeda, and we talked about Alex Collier. I would really I'd love the opportunity to have a round table with you, obviously chairing it, with Alex. Would you be prepared to write to Alex Collier to see him?
Absolutely, will. We've been helping him. We've been doing webinars that have raised him enough money to get out of a car and into an apartment.
Good.
He needs a new computer. His computer's blown up. So, we're gonna manifest in one of those. I would be very happy. Several people have asked, could you get Simon and Alex Collier together? So it's going to be a real thing, and it's going to happen soon. Probably be a YouTube, video connection thing if we can. And it'll probably be he likes to do it in the morning where the library is, so we can do it in, which is the evening for us. So it'll just be a nice time.
I think it would be a very important thing. Now, also, you are of course aware of, I'm not going to say the person's name, but you're of course aware of my friend who,
yes.
He also would be very interested to be part of that.
Yeah, definitely.
To raise that.
That's probably him texting you right now.
Well, I wonder.
But
if that can be managed, then
he has already
said to me that he would be delighted. He would love to do that.
Yeah, well, definitely I want him on the show anyway. So that could be
a good start, couldn't it?
Definitely. So, Simon Parks, once again, you may return to your cave and and hibernate for another few minutes. Oh man, did you see X-Files, by the way?
I've recorded it.
All right, check it. It's a
comic. Oh, the one, yes, I have actually. It was sent to me as a link and I did watch it. It was brilliant.
I cried laughing. I was crying with laughter the third X-Files episode because it's about an Earth reptilian, an Earth Draco. It was a comedy, but it was very serious at the same time. It was brilliant.
Yeah, there was a proper theme to it, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, God bless to you and God bless to the listeners. It's been wonderful. Thank you ever so much for hosting it, JP.
Good night. Listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.